Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, listen to what God's Word says in Jeremiah 2, verse 11 to 13. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out, or dug out for themselves, cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. In this, our third sermon now, in connection with the life and ministry of Jeremiah, we are looking at an example of Jeremiah's preaching, as comes out in this text. Our text passage, Jeremiah chapter 2, gives us, as it were, one of Jeremiah's many sermons. This sermon tells of a grievous matter which Jeremiah again and again raised before the people of Judah. They, as God's covenant people of old, were daily forsaking God and pursuing idols. This was their repeated and persistent evil practice. And Jeremiah, as prophet of the Lord now, is confronting the people and aiming with the word from God, truly to awaken the people before it would be forever too late. Let us study Jeremiah's sermon further under the theme, God's appeal to his people through Jeremiah. In the sermon, Jeremiah shows, 1, how foolish we can be, 2, how caring is the Lord, and 3, how helpful is his word. With our first point, studying God's appeal to his people and showing how foolish we can be, you agree, surely, the Lord makes a very striking contrast here to the people. In the first part of Jeremiah chapter 2, God speaks of how the people, in the early time of their relationship with him, were faithful to him as a faithful wife to her husband. But then they forsook the Lord and started following after the idols and pleasures of this world. Though the Lord alone brought them out of Egypt and led them through the dry, barren wilderness and brought them into the fertile, promised land of Canaan, yet now what were the people doing? Instead of following after the Lord and his word and his worship and will, the people from the priests and rulers and pastors and prophets, all according to verse 8, were turning from God and walking after things that do not profit. Instead of following after God, they changed from their one refuge and hope of glory, as verse 9 also states, for that which does not profit. The people of the two remaining tribes, just like with the 10 tribes before, left the fullness they could have and enjoy in and from God the Lord, to go after instead what is, after all, emptiness and nothingness that this wicked world and false religions promote. In the verses 9 to 12, the Lord so laments the evil of his covenant people. The Lord sees it as so wicked and irrational even, what the people, even his covenant people, were doing, that he calls to the world of nature to be astonished at this so great folly. It was and is so shocking and alarming what Judah was doing that God calls to the whole world of nature, especially in the atmosphere and space around the world, as witnesses, as it were, to become aghast with horror at what was happening. The world of nature obeys the Creator's laws and rulings without question, but see what wicked mankind does. When the natural realm, without conscience and thought, obeys the Lord, and has reason, as it were, to stand shocked and amazed at mankind, at their rebellious and wayward ways, things must be really bad. And don't we live in such times today, too? or even the animal world and God-given laws of nature expose to us our sin and evil in turning from God and His good laws to our own sinful and foolish ways. But now God will make it even more clear what exactly is the wickedness and folly of His covenant people. Listen again here to verse 13. There God says through His prophet Jeremiah, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out or dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Just notice with me here the contrast the Lord makes. He describes Himself for His people not just as a fountain of waters, but the fountain of living waters. What a picture of God here for us. We all can agree there is surely a huge difference between water taken from a pond or reservoir and the water which is drawn from a fountain. The people to whom Jeremiah first spoke and wrote could very much identify with the picture of the text. The land of Judah had a rather long, dry season, and many places would have water tanks or cisterns to hold the water from the rainy season for to provide in the dry season. Everyone knew, too, what a privilege it was to have a water spring or fountain on your land that bubbled forth water from the deep all year round. But such was more rare than common. Reservoirs and water tanks are always dependent on rainwater, but natural water springs, we know, pour out bubbling, cool, fresh water from deep underground. Water from a fountain, we would say, is water that is refreshing and clear and wholesome. It is not stale or flat or impure. God describes Himself here then as the fountain of living water, or you might translate, the fountain of life-giving water. The picture implies, trusting and following Him, you find a fountain ever gushing with true blessings for us, for body and soul, in life and death, a fountain that can never be exhausted either. The Lord, as faithful covenant-keeping God, is the fountain of living waters for us, and besides Him, there is no fountain that truly satisfies and nourishes us in all our needs. What our thirsty minds and hearts need is the fountain of living waters. And except we be drinking from that heaven-opened spring and eternally bubbling fountain of life provided for us by God Triune, you and I will perish forever in everlasting thirst. But now see what the people of Judah were doing in Jeremiah's day, and what all of us do so naturally as fallen sinners left to ourselves. The Lord here exposes two most unreasonable, wicked, evil doings. On the one hand, the people forsake, that is, leave and simply turn away from the fountain of living waters. In other words, the people deserted God and departed from Him in their thoughts and affections and conduct and worship. They wouldn't listen to God and His Word, nor worship Him, but rebelled against Him. But then on top of that, a second evil was attempting to substitute God with something of their own imagination and mindset. Oh, it is terrible when people turn from the one true God, the only Creator God, and God of providence and God of salvation. But what makes it matters so much worse even is how and with what all else people attempt to replace God. Think here of the people leaving the bubbling, gushing fountain of living waters and instead now taking shovels, as it were, and digging pits and holes for making their own water tanks and cisterns. The Lord says those water tanks and cisterns dug out by the people are all cracked and broken and can hold no water at all, really. Someone described it as broken sinks that hold no water. And if there would be any water at all in those faulty man-made water cisterns and tanks and water holes, can you imagine how filthy and contaminated and stinking that water would be? In Jeremiah chapter 38, we are told about the prophet Jeremiah being left a prisoner with his prison cell being for a time a horrible, mucky, slimy water pit. Would you want to drink from that kind of man-made water hole? So altogether with this vivid, contrasting picture and illustration you see God through Jeremiah would make ever so clear the sinfulness and madness of the people with turning from the Lord to the idols of their day and trusting the heathen nations and idol gods rather than Him, the one only true and living God. As one commentator put it, quote, "When we fall away from God, our own conceits deceive us, and whatever may appear to us at the first view to be wells or fountains, yet when thirst shall come, we shall not find a drop of water in all our devices, they being nothing else but dry cavities." End of quote. Now you notice, dear friends, for our first point, I have God's appeal to His people showing how foolish we can be. I didn't put down how foolish they can be, but purposely included ourselves and myself as well. Do you know that each and every time we sin and choose to disobey God and His Word, you and I are actually doing then what the people of Judah did, forsaking the fountain of living waters and substituting God and His Word and will with broken cisterns, cisterns of our own making, cisterns that can hold no water at all. Will you be convicted to consider all sin and sinful ways in your life as being exactly so foolish and wicked and evil and mindless? Any act of sin and sinfulness from you and me in thought, word, or deed is doing exactly like the people of Judah did, as told in our text passage. Oh, that we each would see all our sins and disobedience before God and His Word as exactly so foolish and wicked and vain. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the prophet declares in God's name, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Yes, so foolish and sinful we are, left to ourselves. But now, behold, God is out to make it very clear to us what sin is and how utterly foolish it is to turn from God and to go our own ungodly ways. Will we, you and I, listen to this text, Jeremiah 2, verse 13, and take honest stock of our lives from this word in all we think, say, and do? Isn't it true that every day in countless ways, you and I are either, as one said, carrying a bucket for drawing from the only fountain of living waters, or carrying a shovel for digging our own useless, broken water holes that hold no water? What a picture to help make clear the evil and foolishness of turning from God and His gospel word and will. Don't you agree? What a true description, too, of all false religions and of all that this fallen and ungodly world offers us to drink from for comfort and hope and help and confidence in life and death and for life hereafter. Listen, dear friends, there just is no comparison between true Christianity and the false world religions, and between what God's Word clearly teaches us and what this ungodly world promotes. The contrast is as stark and wide as between the fountain of living waters and broken cisterns that can hold no water. Are you tasting and enjoying the fresh water of life from God for us in and through His Word and Gospel? Or are you still drawing only from the man-made, broken, dirty sinks that can hold no water? Or are you maybe trying still to drink yet from both at the same time? On Sundays, from the fountain of living waters, and on Mondays to Saturdays, from the broken water cisterns of this world. But didn't Jesus say you cannot serve two masters? And all attempts to do so means really turning your back on the one fountain of living waters, as revealed in God's Word, and in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Are not these good and searching questions to think about then, for each one of us, and for us in our families, and as churches, and even as communities and nations? Doesn't our text explain and expose the root problem, really, in each of our lives by nature and in this whole fallen world? How many are so busy digging and drawing from broken water cisterns that can hold no water, and living and dying, ignoring the fountain of living waters that God has opened and freely provides for all who have ears to hear. What about you now? Do you identify with one who testified in song, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled, and mocked me as I wailed. None but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee." With those words, let us move also to our second main point. For in our text, we have God's appeal to His people, not only showing how foolish we can be, but consider how our text shows too how caring is the Lord. Indeed, must we not say this, thinking here of this earnest, gracious calling from the Lord to the people, as given in our text? You would think after all the rebellion and wicked ingratitude and stubborn unfaithfulness of the people, as even told in the verses 1 to 8 of Jeremiah chapter 2, that God would therefore say, "I'm finished with you, sinful, wayward people. Don't expect me to come to your help ever again." But no, instead we read in verse 9 these gospel words, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." Isn't that amazing? How long-suffering is the Lord! How patient and kind still in His repeated sincere calling to the people to turn from their evil ways! Isn't the Lord showing that same graciousness even with this radio message now? Isn't the Lord most kind and caring too in our text when using such vivid word pictures through prophet Jeremiah to help make clear how terribly foolish and wicked the people were being and who God would yet be for them if they only repented of sin and would return to Him and His ways? Here, think more with me about the precious word picture of God Himself as the fountain of living waters. How often do we find this in the Bible, that God is described as the fountain of life? I think, for instance, here of Psalm 36, verse 7 to 9. There David, as true child of God, testifies about the Lord His covenant God. "How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of Thy house, and Thou shalt make them drink, or cause them to drink, of the river of Thy pleasures. For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light." Oh, just this reference brings out, as in our text in Jeremiah 2, verse 13, the one true God, the covenant God of His people, the triune God as revealed ultimately in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He is the fountain of living waters, indeed. Strikingly, when Jesus was here on earth, we read in John 4, verse 13 to 14, that Jesus, the Savior, said to the woman at the well of Samaria, a woman living in sin and following a false religion, Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water, from her sinful ways and pagan religion, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Later also in John 7, Jesus says something very meaningful in the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. A Jewish ritual at this annual feast was to pour out water to celebrate God's provision of water in the wilderness journey. And listen then to what Jesus says on the last day of that feast. John 7:37 and following states, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" We know Jesus meant with this that whoever by the Spirit trusts in Christ Jesus and follows him as only Savior and Lord, will by the Holy Spirit also receive fullness of life through Christ here and now already, and then eternal life in perfection, in soul and body, forevermore hereafter, in the new world to come. How can God be thus the fountain of living waters for us, and indeed the overflowing fountain of all good for His people and through His people? Well, it is all from out of Christ and His saving work on sinners' behalf. Isn't that the gospel? Jesus Christ, who is once for all sacrifice on Golgotha, shedding His blood and dying on the cursed tree, that cross of Calvary, He has opened that fountain for all sin and uncleanness. As the God-appointed and Spirit-anointed Savior, Jesus gave His life a ransom for many, paying the punishment for sin we sinners deserve, and living that perfect sinless life God justly demands from us. As the just for the unjust, Jesus suffered and died, making thus full payment for sin and offering a sinless, righteous life on behalf of sinners like us. Oh, by Christ and His shed blood and Spirit-worked faith in Him, sinners like us may be truly and even eternally reconciled to God and redeemed of our sins and sinfulness and washed whiter than snow and become heirs of eternal life. The gospel call of the crucified and risen Savior of sinners is, as given already so beautifully in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye and buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not?" Do you hear this gospel call now then, dear friends? It is the same gospel call given to the people in Jeremiah's time. We know from the further history of Judah that many just wouldn't listen to the prophet's gospel call in God's name. Remember wicked King Jehoiakim, as we saw last week. He just threw the prophet's word in the fire and totally despised and ignored it all. How many people do that today too? Not only out in the world, but alas, even within the church. Most sadly and wrongly, so many people just continue to ignore and despise the one fountain of living waters as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and will not stop cleaving to their broken water cisterns which hold no water. Where are you at, each one of you now? Whether younger or older, living today in this New Testament age, in the perilous times we do. Are you someone who stubbornly and sinfully remains with the broken cisterns of your own making that never can satisfy your thirst, but always will sourly and surely disappoint you and even condemn you forever in the end? With Jeremiah, I would plead with you in God's name, don't continue so living. No, rather let us all throw away those shovels of ours, digging broken cisterns that hold no water, and run instead to the fountain of living waters, and ever reside and abide there for salvation and renewal and everlasting life here and hereafter. Let no one listening be as a fool, but rather by God's grace now be wise in the way of grace and truth, ever looking to Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Think of Him on the cross, crying out also that fifth saying from the cross, "I thirst," that whosoever trusts and follows Him need never thirst again. Oh, dear friends, when you are a confessing Christian, isn't it true, then you know and love this gospel word? Then too you realize and are personally persuaded that never can there be greater good news to hear and believe and to trust and obey and to seek to pass on to others as well. Is this not your persuasion and testimony today too? Even as you hear this Christian radio message and maybe are on your way to a Christian church for to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. A question to ask is, do we as confessing Christians show in our life, with the choices we make, in our places we go, the friends we have, and what we listen to and watch, and how we spend our money, and what we do on Sundays and every weekday between, and the way we work and talk and live, do we show that for us to live is Christ, even as the Apostle Paul testified in Philippians 1, verse 21? Do people see us with water buckets, as it were, ever near the fountain of living waters for to drink from there, afresh day after day? Or do we show ourselves more as those with our own shovels, always busy digging for this and that treasure and pleasure and comfort from the broken water cisterns of this world and our sinful selves that hold no water? With that question, we come to our third point about in God's appeal to his people. How helpful is his word here? Yes, how helpful it should be for each one of us personally. I mean, isn't Jeremiah 2 verse 13 a very helpful word under the blessing of the Holy Spirit, either in coming to faith in Christ for a first time or for continuing steadfast in the faith as we travel on in life's brief earthly pilgrimage? But how do we testify of this only gospel word to people around us, blinded in sin and hardened in sin, not wanting even to hear? Well, let us be diligent in prayer and care for those around us, like Jeremiah was in his day. Who is there you might share this word with, even in this coming week, asking and saying, as Dr. Murray put it so well, quote, "What astonishes God? People abandoning his fountain and digging their own water tanks. God calls heaven and earth to shudder with astonishment at four vivid contrasts," says Dr. Murray. One, fountain drinking versus tank digging. Drinkers come with buckets to fill. Diggers come with shovels to dig. Drinkers are refreshed. Diggers are exhausted. Two, one fountain versus many tanks. We only need one fountain. There are never enough tanks of our own making, but only one fountain of life. Three, full fountain versus leaky tanks. The fountain is always running. The tanks are always running out. And fourth, pure fountain versus poisonous tanks. The fountain is life-giving, but the stagnant, muddy tank waters of our broken cisterns are full of hidden deaths. You carrying a bucket or a shovel? You a drinker or a digger? All our fountains are in thee, says the true Christian and faithful church of all ages. Are you so listening and responding to the word of the Lord through prophet Jeremiah too? Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.